Be today, Genesis chapter 12. It's a lot of these texts. I mean, I probably preached on just about every text in the Bible in my time. I'm sure there's something I probably missed, but some of these big events and things. But there's always something else that we see. You know, there's always something else to learn from. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Heavenly Father, we want to come to you again now. Lord, help us clear our minds. So many distractions that the devil uses, Lord, to keep us from focusing on what's really important, listening to your word. Help us, Lord, to hear, understand, open our hearts, Lord, that we can... That you can speak to us this morning, Lord. That's the most important thing, that you speak to us individually as well as collectively. We'll commit that into your care. Fill us with yourself. Those of us that are saved, I pray you fill us today just to the brim, Lord, and even overflowing. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. The title of the message today is The Movement of Faith. The Movement of Faith. And, this is a pretty familiar text. It's a famous text, really, the call of God on Abraham's life. And, the call was for him to leave something. He was called to leave his home, leave his country, leave his kindred behind. And you wonder why. Like, sometimes, why does God call us? And of course, in Abraham, boy, it was such a unique circumstance compared to what we have today. I mean, Abraham, they were idol worshipers. They didn't know, they thought there was many gods. They had many gods. But here was the one true God, spoke out to Abraham, certainly an act of grace on God's part. And then God calls us. And so we know in our call, you know, when God calls, and God, listen, God's calling to you, no matter what you're, you know, in some way, shape, or form. If you're not saved, he's calling for you to be saved. That's why we preach the gospel. God's speaking just as much to you and I as he does to Abraham right here in the Bible, that he's calling us somehow, whether it's an impression in our mind, just a something that we can't get our mind off of, a direction, a pull to us in our life. God is still speaking. God's still working. It's nothing unique in that sense right there. But why would God call us to do certain things? Why does God call Abraham to leave his home? Why does he call him to leave his country, his kindred? Well, it's really a test of faith. And God's a multitasker. I say that all the time. God doesn't have to do like one thing at a time like you and I. He can do many things. And it's always a test of faith, but it always leads to something else. Generally another test of faith. It never ceases, and I'll get to that in a minute. But he calls us out of something. He calls us out of this world, for one. He calls us into something, and he calls us on. In other words, he's calling us to move in a direction, you know, with our faith. Faith's not it's not stagnant, you know. It's moving, it's action. It's not faith. There's so many people that think it is. But Romans 1:17 says, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." From faith to faith. That means from the faith that you have now to if you're moving forward, it's to a greater faith. And from that faith to a greater faith. When does it stop? Never. It never stops. I don't know how faith's going to operate in heaven there, but we may not need it the same way. But it's just never going to stop. So saving faith is not like an act. So many people say, "Well, yeah, man, I got saved back 40 years ago. I'll never forget it. The preacher preached on hell. I got scared. So I went down to the altar and I asked, you know, and got saved." And then what have they done with their faith since? Absolutely nothing. That's not saving faith. That's not a real faith. It's from faith to faith. What Romans 1:17 said, from faith to faith. It's a life. Man, it's a lifestyle. This is what salvation is. So many people think salvation, I'm just going to get saved and I'm not going to go to hell. Well, that would be true. If you get saved, you're not going to go to hell. But man, that's a small part of it. I'm going to get saved and I'm going to go to heaven. That would be true. You know, but that's a small part of it. I'm going to be saved means I'm going to trust God. I'm going to put my faith and I'm going to depend on Him. And He's going to lead the way and I'm going to follow Him no matter what He says, no matter what He does. I'm going to trust Him and believe that He is smarter than I. I'm going to believe that He has my best interests at heart, and that He's going to lead me in the right way, the perfect way, that His way is going to be 10 times greater than my way, and I'm going to exercise faith every single day, every second of my life, every day. I'm going to put faith in God. That is saving faith. This one-time act of faith is not, has never been salvation. God spoke out to Abraham. He called him, and He said, come out and leave. And He said, and I will, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And if Abraham hadn't moved one inch, I'm going to tell you what, he wouldn't have been living in the life of faith, and God wouldn't have done what He did with Abraham because of that. So it's a day by day. It is a life. That's what it means. Day, you know, what is our life? What is our life? It's day by day living, right? It's day by day living. And that's, it's a life of faith, is saving faith. That's what salvation is. That's what being a Christian is. That's what being a child of God is. That's the real thing. And if it's not that, it's not real. If it's not that, you're not saved. I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying it to be accurate. I'm saying it so that you'll know the truth, so that you can say, listen, that's the faith I need. That's the faith I don't have. I'm not saying your faith will be perfect. The Bible says a faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. We could cast, say, in God's will, it cast a mountain into the sea, mountain be it done, you know, cast it out, and God, it would be done. It would be done. But, you know, that it's not perfect faith. But listen, it's still faith. And so the life of faith demands total separation from everything that's evil, everything that's sinful, and total devotion to what is holy. That is a life of faith. Now, God don't leave you hanging out there alone on that deal right there. Huh? He fills you with Himself. Man, He empowers you. He gives you the Holy Spirit Himself. He gives you the Word of God. Listen, you're not doing it on your own. Matter of fact, you're not doing it at all. God's doing it through you when you surrender your life to Him. And so, the Bible tells us this. This is clear and this is a truth. We cannot serve two masters. We can't serve two masters. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what we call him? The modern day redneck translation of a double-minded man is wishy-washy, wishy-washy. You know, one minute this way, one minute that way. I mean, you know, you never saying one thing, doing something else, promising you this and not doing it at all. I mean, he's unstable everywhere. So God called Abraham out. He called him on, and in the end of it, He called him in, and He does the same thing for a believer. Why does God do that again? Back to that question. Why does God call us from faith to faith? Well, a couple different things I'm going to lay on you here. Number one, you're not going to have in the Christian walk, seldom does somebody have great faith on day one. You learn it. You know, it's a little step at a time, and even Abraham it was too. Even though you think, well, that's pretty big. Hey, it's going to get bigger. It's going to get bigger. And so you learn it. You know, you say, hey, I remember I've shared this before. Sherry and I, we moved down here. The kids were small. Man, we were living up in Hickory Holler. It's 1/8 mile long back in the sticks. And I had a house. I rented my house out in Northern Virginia. We lived up here. And then I lost my job and the renters bailed out down there. We ran all the way out of money. All the way out of money. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And guess what? God took care of it a couple different ways, met our temporary need one day when we didn't have but $30, getting ready to come to church right here on the old side. Pastor Frank was a pastor. I told her, I said, well, we can't pay the electric bill. We got to eat. We're just going to have to call the electric company and say, hey, we're doing what we can do. $30, what are you going to get with $30? We're going to get some bread and some hot dogs, right? And that's what I heard, something running outside. It was a truck. We had one neighbor on that 1/10 mile driveway that lived halfway back. Here he pulled up in his old white Ford. It's a miracle he made it. And I had, well, that's why I could hear it, you know, the muffler was about to fall. And went out there and opened up the door. And man, he had groceries And we brought them in. We stacked them all over the cat. We had to stack all the groceries. We couldn't get it. We put coolers on the porch. Her stepmom came a couple days later. He met our need. Long story short, I mean, I got, and I'm going to tell you what, and God, I was TMJ, and man, I was so stressed out. But what happened? God met our need, right? God met our need, and God took care of it. And I didn't, the next year, as I had a temporary job, worked on the addition at Yokohama Tire. And when the addition ran out, the company left, and now I needed to have another job. And man, a year later, I'm in the same boat. But you know what? It was so exciting. I was concerned, but I was excited because when God did it, you know, my mind was saying, it's like, wow, God really did take care of us. God really did it. Yes. Now, I was already a believer. Yes. But see, what happened was I had to go through the challenge to have my faith grow to the point where now I could say, well, God's going to do it again. Guess what? I'm still here. Guess what? The next year, guess what? God took care of it again. I was kind of excited to see what God was going to do. And God did greater than what I thought. It was greater than what I thought. I didn't get a temporary job. I got a good job, and I liked it. And in the meantime, God was calling me to pastor and called me to be the pastor of the church. And then the church said, hey, we're going to take you on full. And that company decided they got bought by another company and they're going to move down to South Carolina. They weren't going to take no welders with them. I was welding the nuclear power plant piping up there at Connex in Troutville, that big place in Troutville. Church said, we're going to take you on full time. There it was. Donnie, you was there. Huh? All you older Valley View Baptist people. Y'all paid me more than I thought you could at the time. Huh? Yeah, I mean, it was just a blessing, right? But see, this is what it is. We've got to face, God causes us to face new challenges. And what that does, it forces us. Yes. See, we wouldn't do it on our own. God's got to force you to trust him. Yes. What am I going to do when the renters bail out? I can't get the house rented. Put it up for sale. Nobody buy it. I had 20 acres of land, Sherry, and I bought it years ago. 20 acres of land when nobody wanted to buy it. We tried to sell it. I said, well, there's some cash, right? No, nobody wants to buy it, right? We couldn't get the land for sold. I had to pay rent here, and I had a house payment in Northern Virginia. You know what that's like. And $30 in the bank. Huh? God had to force me. I wouldn't have said, hey, you know what? This is what I think I'll do. I think I'll just run the renters off, and that way I don't have no income, and I think I'll just go ahead and quit my job, and we'll sit around the house so our faith will get increased. No, you ain't going to do that. God's got to make it. God's got to make you do it. And so what happened, he forces us to trust him more and increase our faith, and then increases our love, and increases our trust, and then it increases our dependence. Boy, my prayer life was a lot better back then. When you don't have nothing to eat, you know, no groceries, and you got two young kids and no job and no prospects, man, you know, I used to sit around and, you know, stress about it. So Abraham's call out, which was really more of a spiritual thing than it was a physical thing, a geographic thing, it forced, and through his life there, and then through Genesis, there was four great crises in his life. Now, in between those great ones, there was little ones. But there was great things that he was faced. And it was a call to separate for some things in his life. But each one of them was an increase in his faith. The very first one was place. We spoke about that. God called Abraham to leave his country, to leave his home, and that God would lead him to another place that he would show him. Didn't even show him where he was going. How many of us, we want to know where we're going, how we're going to get there, how long it's going to take, where are we going to stop to go to the bathroom, where are we going to get where are we going to get a break? We want to know all that. And he said, no, you just leave. I'm going to take you to a place and show you there. Lead him to another place that he would show him. Now, you think, well, you know, can't we, and God doesn't listen. God doesn't call everybody to move from a geographic place. Let me just say that. Well, if I get saved, I got to pack up and move, you know. that's not always the case. It could be. It could be, but it's not always the case, right? But if that's the case, let's look at Abraham. Well, why couldn't Abraham have learned to trust God right there? Stay in the old comfort zone. Stay right there where he was used to be. Well, the people were idol worshipers that was around him. That might have had something to do with it. But what takes more faith, to stay or to leave? Yeah, it was going to take more faith to go to a place that God didn't tell him how to get there than to stay. So God just says, you know, now God's up there. Like, let's look at it like this, practical way. God's not up there thinking, I don't know where I'm sending him. I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I'm not even, you know, God's like, God's got the whole thing. Got the whole thing figured out. He just wants to see if Abraham will do it. He wants Abraham. Now, God knows, because of his omniscience, he knows if you're going to do it or not. But he wants, Abraham doesn't know if he's going to do it or not. He wants to see it. See, so he wants to see that. And so his faith could not really grow like it could or should in that place. He had to do, you know, it was an act. It's a step, right? It don't matter what it is in life, right? You kind of got to step out of your comfort zone. You got, God calls you to do, you know, this is what you got to do. People want to do what? People have been saved 30, 40, 50 years, read the Bible 150 times, hadn't never one time taught a class, done anything with the Word of God. You know why? Because they're afraid. But how's God going to, well, you know, you're never going to, God never gets you to the point where I'm totally comfortable. I totally know what I'm going to do. I got everything figured out. I'm going to be able to, if you know all that, you don't need faith. God wants you to act when you don't know, when you got to really trust Him, when you really got to pray, right? And so, God calls us always. It's always a spiritual move. God calls us to move spiritually. He never calls us to, when we get saved, we're going into a new life. We're being born again. All things become new. Everything's new. He's calling us to something new. He's not leaving us in the same old life, the same old place. That's an act of faith, and that's what He does in a spiritual sense. You're definitely not staying in the same place. You were dead spiritually. Now you're alive, and it's going to be a different thing. And so He calls us to move, and it's a movement of trust in every circumstance. He always calls us to move on, to move forward of our faith. Now we trust Jesus calls on Him. You know, we trust Him for salvation. That's a spiritual movement. But then we go from trusting God. Here's the movement. You go from not trusting God to trusting God, but then to following God. I mean, and that would go, trust and following would go together. I mean, you know, if you're trusting that. So listen, even if you're saved and you've been saved for a long time, God is calling you to move forward. I don't care if some of you have been saved here for years. God is calling you to move forward in your salvation. Yes. In your faith. You know, in your faith would be more of a specific definition. He wants you to move forward in your faith. And it never happens in a stagnant, do-nothing spiritual place. You know, it's always a movement to something new, a new challenge in your life. It's a new thing, a new place, a new way to trust. Moving spiritually from wherever you're at. Everybody may be at a different place, but it's a deeper trust, a stronger faith, a greater love, a greater dependence. That usually does not happen during a prosperous time or a what we would call a great circumstance. It usually happens in a trying time. Huh? I bet you old Jonah learned a lot about faith and trust in the whale's belly. he learned a lot. I bet he had a good prayer meeting in there. You know, and when he came out, you know, he knew how to tell. Now, see, a lot of times we may believe, and I think subconsciously, that, you know, as we grow stronger in the Lord, you might, and I think sometimes Christians think this, and it's a subconscious thing, that as we grow stronger in the Lord, that we don't really need to depend on Him. It's an odd thing that we don't have to depend on the Lord as much because we know more of the Bible, and we know that we can trust God, and we know, you know what, there's an oddity there that sometimes the more that we know like that, the less we think we have to pray. The less that we think we have to really trust, the less that we think that somehow now we've got it within ourselves. You know, we get it, we got it, so we know what to do. It's the other way around. The more we know this, the more that we know the Lord, the more that we depend on Him. We depend on Him more and more and more. That's what really growth is. It produces. So God is calling every one of us to get out of the spiritual place wherever you are. To a place that He has prepared for you. And then I can say this without any reservation, it's a better place. He's always calling us to a better place spiritually. He's always calling us to that place. The second thing He called him to separate from is people. People. Man, God called Abraham to separate from a place, and He said, I want you to leave your kindred and all those, your father's from your father's house and from your kindred. Now, I can't explain always. I don't know God's ways and why God does everything that He does do. Can't claim to know all that about it. And we speculate. We think about things. And we don't know His ways and His reasons about everything. But I do know this. I know that Christ is to be our first love. He's to be our first love. Matter of fact, that so much so that the Bible tells us that our love for Him should be so great that all other human relationships would seem like hate. God doesn't teach us to hate anybody, but it uses that strong language in that verse. that it would seem like hate. You know, our relationship to God, even greater than your children. I know you moms are thinking, what? Yep. Mm-hmm. Our love for Christ. I'm going to tell you, where'd your children come from? They came from God. It came from God. I'm going to get to that. That's in another point I got, but I'll get to it. It came from God. And so Abraham compromised a little bit on this deal. See, he didn't have perfect faith. It said that when he left, as a matter of fact, the chronological events are a little mixed up. But if you read the chapter ahead of that and kind of put everything together, and a lot of commentators believe that Abraham actually, he started out, he had his father, and he took Lot. Lot's father had died when Lot was younger, and Abraham's dad took Lot under his wing, and he raised him. So when Abraham left, he took his father, and he took Lot and his family. He took them along, and they went a little ways. It appears that they started for Canaan, even though they didn't know where Canaan was, and they settled at Haran, and they stayed there until Abraham's father died. Now, God had called him to leave all his kindred behind and go on this journey. So what happened there in that case? Well, it slowed him up. He was dragging his feet. I don't know how long it took. I think it was some years. But it took some years for Abraham to really get to going to where God had led him to go. Why? Because of his family. His family held him up just a little bit in a spiritual sense. Listen, our family can hold. I've had people to say, well, you know, preacher, I'm going to come. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to come. And, you know, when my husband comes, they never seen their husband. I don't even know what they look like. They never darken the church door. When my husband comes to join, well, good grief, man, you're letting your husband hold you up from moving forward in your relationship with God, moving forward in the relationship with your church. You know, listen, God wants us, you know, God wants first place. I just know that. I don't know all the ins and outs and why it sounds the way it does, but that's just what I know that. It can be no other gods before him, no other time. And sometimes family can kind of slow us up just a little bit. And if they're lost, God is definitely calling you for a spiritual separation there. Well, what about saved people? Is there some saved people you need to get away from, separate from? Yeah, there are. Because everybody sometimes at a spirit is a different spiritual place. It may not be total spirit separation, but it may be a separation to some degree. You may be able to help them along. You may be able not to help them along. And so we look at Lot. You know, Abraham took Lot with him. The New Testament tells us, man, that he was a righteous man. It talks about he was a just man, a righteous man, that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah vexed his righteous soul. But I'm going to tell you what, Lot was a carnal. He would be what we call a Christian today, but I'm going to tell you something about him. He was a carnal Christian. Huh? And if you're going to grow in your spiritual life, you may have to have a little distance between yourself and a carnal Christian, because it's going to drag you down the other way. God had blessed Abraham. What happened was, as they got away, when they got to where they were going, that God blessed both of them so much so that their herdmen kind of got into strife about watering holes and such. So Abraham said, hey, we need to separate just a little bit. And Abraham said, listen, if you want to go that way, I'll go that way. If you go this way, I'll go that way. You choose. Well, Lot looked down there towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw that there was a good pasture down there, but there was also Sodom and Gomorrah down there. I don't think Abraham would have went that way. But Lot said, I'll go down there because that place looks good for cattle. That's fine. He separated right here. And so you see what happens. The carnal mind works differently than the spiritual mind, even amongst people that are saved. Sodom chose down there near Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to compromise with that because the grass looked real good. Now, that's trusting human wisdom. I'm going to tell you what, wherever Abraham settled, trust me, if the grass didn't look good when he got there, God blessed it and the grass looked good after that. You know, God was going to bless it. But he compromised with wickedness. And eventually what happened? He moved near the city. He moved into the city, and y'all know the rest of the story, and God destroyed it with fire and brimstone. But he was looking at a temporal thing. All carnal people do. They look at the temporary. What can I get for today? They're not looking. The Bible says Abraham was looking for a city, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what he was looking for. He wasn't looking for the temporary thing, but Lot was. It says he was a just, he was a righteous man, right? And so, here's the thing, the carnal and the spiritual can't strive together. It can't strive together in your life. and it can't strive together from the outside of your life. It just won't work. And so there's another point of that lesson too. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave everything here behind and go to a place I'm going to show you. And in our spiritual walk, anything that we bring with us of the old life may be and probably will be a problem for us in our walk of faith. Anything we bring out of the old life, attitudes, philosophies, all those type things. The third thing that he had to separate from was plans, his plans. He called him to separate from a place, from people, and now from plan. And so God called him to leave, but didn't tell him the destination. He didn't tell him where to go. Now, how would he know where to go? He prayed. That's a real tough one. He just prayed. God, okay, I'm every day pray. God probably said, all right, just go that way. He led him along the way. And he prayed, and Abraham went. And everywhere he went, he built an altar, which means he worshiped God, and he prayed. They said that you could backtrack Abraham by the altars that he left. He built some little rock something where he worshiped God. You could backtrack Abraham from the altars that he built. Everywhere he went, he built an altar and he prayed, except one place. A famine came in the land. Who do you think caused that? God caused it. And Abraham, it says, he decided that he was going to go down into Egypt. Now, Egypt, spiritually speaking, always pictures the world. It wasn't where God wanted him to go, the place. God didn't lead him there. He just said, I decided to go down into Egypt. Guess what? He never prayed. He never worshiped when he got down there. No record of him building an altar. No record of him praying. And it even got to where his wife, Sarah, looked pretty good. And he said, well, I'm afraid if I go down in there, these men are going to eyeball my wife, and they're going to want to know, and they're going to find out I'm her husband. They're going to kill me so they can get to my wife. So him and Sarah got together, and they said, hey, let's just lie about it, and we'll tell them that you're my sister. Huh? But guess what? Old Pharaoh found out about it. So look what happened to him. As soon as he got out of the direction God was leading into him, he went to a place that he shouldn't have been, and the very next thing he did was he told a lie. And he got Sarah to tell one. They both lied. Isn't that what happened when we get out of God's place? Huh? One sin leads to another. It's a snowball effect. So plan one, that wasn't God's plan to go down to Egypt, that failed. His plan number two, Abraham's plan number two, he went down into Egypt and lied, because what else happened when you get out of God's will? He got afraid. Worry, Philippians 4, last week's message. When you get out of God's will, you got fear. See, that's a sin too, worry, and we talked about that last week, right? So now he's went to a place he shouldn't have gone to. He ended up telling a lie, and he started sweating a load about everything, which is not faith, by the way. That's not opera. That's not living a life of faith when you're living a life of fear and worry. Right. Amen, preacher. That's good, right? Right? This is the truth. This is what the Bible says. That's always the case. No worshiping. And what happened to him? You get out of God's will and you start telling lies and you start living a life of fear. Guess what else? No worship and no prayer. Oh, there might be some prayers, but God ain't hearing. No worship and no prayer till he got back out of Egypt and he built an altar. Guess what? He went right back and built an altar. So God is calling us to separate from our plans, because his plans are always going to be better. And our plans, and it can be methods, the old worldly ways of doing things, the old philosophies that we had of how to deal with problems in our life, the old philosophies that we had of dealing with circumstances in our life. He's calling you away from that. He's calling you away from those plans. Human wisdom and reasoning, called to follow him, trust him, have faith in him. Not ourselves. And then the last thing that he called him from was his posterity. We all know the story of Abraham. God told him and Sarah, you're gonna have a child in your old age, man. Abraham about 100, Sarah about 90, gonna have a child, and they laughed about it, and this is gonna happen. And And they said, well, you know what? God promised that they're going to have from my seed, there was going to be nations and all that, and it's not coming to pass fast enough. God looks like God's not going to, and maybe I got to take, and see, a lot of people's faith is like this. They do trust God to a certain degree, but they think that they got to take God and take God and add him to their plans and their methods and their things, and God's going to work it out that way. He's calling you to separate from all that, and that's what they think. You know, it's like a blend of me and God. No, you are going to be crucified. Self is going to be dead, and it's going to be Christ. To me to live is Christ, not me to live is me in Christ. It's Christ, right? That's what he said. And so you know what, Abraham and Sarah, they decided, guess what? They had another plan. They said, well, you know what? I'm so old, but my maid here, she's a little younger. Her name's Hagar. She's a little bit younger. Said, you go ahead and get with her, and we'll have a child through her, and that'll be, no. They did. Ishmael came along, but that wasn't the plan. God said, no, that's not my plan. That's your plan. And he said, you're going to have a child. And here they were. You imagine, you know, the last born, isn't the last born, a lot of times they say the last born gets spoiled the most, you know, because it's the last child. You got that last little child at home, right? You know, the last one. You're going to, well, boy, just think when your last one is when you're 90 years old, Ma, and last one when you're 100 years old, Dad. Woo! You talking about... So what happened? Sarah did get with child, and they had Isaac, and Isaac was born. And you know what God told him? You know the story. God, one day when Isaac was a little bit older, teenager to 20 maybe, somewhere along in there, he said, I want you to take Isaac up on the mountain there. I want you to sacrifice him to me. Now, Abraham, listen, he didn't have the law and he didn't have a lot of things. And I think there was some things that said, human sacrifice probably had some word on that it would be wrong. But this is what God said, and he knew this is what God said. Now, boy, here's the test. Notice, God didn't do this at the beginning. He didn't ever pass it. It was a step. Leave your home, leave your country, did it. So I want you to leave your plans or leave some people. There's some people behind. I want you to leave them. Leave your plans behind. And now, and Abraham, there was some hiccups along the way with Egypt and that, but he basically followed everything God told him to do. He did it. He did it. And now the test. This is the greatest test. He said, I want you to take that son of promise. Now, Abraham knew this. See, so what did I, you know, this is a lesson for us. What did Abraham hang on? The promise of God. Hey, Isaac didn't have any children. But he said, but through you and your seed, you're going to have many nations, great nations. But now God's saying, all right, Abraham, I want you to take him up and sacrifice Isaac up on the mountain. And Abraham's thinking, but I got a promise from God. And I think Abraham had learned something about God by now, that God wasn't going to lie and that it had to be. And he had a belief that, boy, if I slay him and I take his life, God will raise him up. I don't know nothing about it. Nobody had been raised from the dead yet. But he knew God, how great his God was. He knew he was bigger than the circumstance and the problem and all those things right there. And listen, he said, listen. Another thing I want you, this is the nearest and dearest possession that Abraham had. What are you going to do if God asks you to give him back the nearest, dearest possession that you have? Huh? This is an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. Where's your heart? That's what God wants to know anyway. Not here. Here. It's in the heart. He wants your heart. He said, I want you to do it. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But I'm going to tell you what, our children can become our gods, and I've seen it. I've seen it. As I said, it was a miraculous child to start with, which every child, I believe, is. For him and Sarah to have a child, it was God had done that. So whose child is it? Whose child is your child? It's God, man. It's God. It was God's. And God just said, listen, give me back what's mine. God only asked us to give back what he gave us in the first place. Abraham passed the test. He took him up on that mountain. He told the men, even, there's some words that he said along the way. I didn't read the whole thing, but he told him, he said, listen, you guys wait here. The other servants, he said, you wait here, and the child and I will return. Woo! Huh? How did he have that faith? How did he know? We got the Word of God. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. We got Abraham's story to look back at and say, wow, man, we can look at all these stories in the Bible. We got, he didn't have none of it. But he had this relationship with God, and he talked with God, and he knew God. He knew God's character. Every test, God came through. Every test, the blessings had already started. God hadn't lied to him one time. He's never lied to you one time. There's all the promises in the Word of God. He's never lied to you one time. And Abraham knew it. He just believed it. He trusted it. You know, he went up there. He took that knife. And even Isaac, I can see it breaks my heart when I read it. I cry when I read it. He's saying basically, Dad, I see the fire and I see the wood, but I don't see the, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? He was it. And old Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide. He bound him up. I was always wondering, what's Isaac thinking? My dad's tying me up. And he lays him on the altar. And he takes the knife. And they say that at the age of Abraham, and Isaac could have overpowered him. He didn't. Took that knife. He's going to kill his son, slay his son. The angel said, stop. He said, he looked over and there was a ram caught in the bushes over there with his horns caught in the bushes. There it is. Picture of Jesus. Picture of God giving his son instead of you. His son instead of your son. He said, there he is right there. The ram caught in the briars. Jesus wore a crown. Briars, that was our substitute. He took that ram out of there. God took his son, his only son, put him on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life and be spared. Huh? Guess what? Abraham come back down with Isaac. He come back down with him and come back down to those servants down there. Step by step, that walk of faith got him to that point. See, he didn't ask him to do that at the beginning. He asked him as he, and God takes us to a new challenge as we follow him, a deeper challenge, a stronger challenge. Anybody can leave home. Give him your son. Give God the dearest thing in your heart, to give God that. That's a faith. That's an act of faith. God saw it. And it was worth it. God told him in Genesis 22, is a little farther. This was after what happened with Isaac. And it said this, and said in verse 16, he said, and I said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, what I just talked to you about, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Jesus Christ come through that line, and all, even us, the Savior of the world came because Abraham obeyed the voice of God in faith. Man, an act of faith. It's just fully trusting God, not holding back. Listen, I'm telling you what, every when I think about Abraham and Isaac, every parent in here would give their self before they'd give it. It was a greater test than what God says. Listen, I want you to surrender your life to me. That isn't as great a test as saying, I want you to give me your child and sacrifice him. You sacrifice him on the altar. That was a higher test. Huh? Man, that's that kind of faith. God's calling us to that kind of faith, and God blessed him, man. That's where the blessings of life come, not only for himself. It's not so much for Abraham, but the blessings that flowed from Abraham out to us ended up being in Jesus Christ himself, salvation. So God's asking you. God's asking you to take a step of faith. And maybe you've done that in salvation sense. But he's always still calling you to on. He's calling you onward to another step and another step and a separation from things that may be near and dear to you. And it's a challenge to you. It's out of your comfort zone. But it's always for the best. The blessings that are laying there for us. Amen. Come on up here, William. Everybody stand with their heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll have an invitation time. Think about this.